chapter. We'll jump right into Exodus chapter 7, and we'll notice together verse number 1. Exodus chapter 7 and verse number 1, as we continue our series here, verse by verse, through the book of Exodus. The Bible says, Exodus chapter 7, verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show us a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent." Let's pray together. Lord, help us as we look at your word here tonight. And I understand that many have worked long hours today and are tired, and we know that your word teaches us that though our spirit may be willing, that our flesh is weak. And so, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our hearts and our physical bodies, that we would hear your word, and not only, Lord, that we would hear it and walk away unchanged, but we would apply it to our lives, that we would be more like you. And so, Lord, I pray you would help us in these moments. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just by way of context, I think we don't want to be confused to what's happening here. Moses stood before Pharaoh way back in chapter 5. Aaron and Moses said to Pharaoh, you know, let my people go. Thus saith the Lord, let my people go. And Pharaoh responded, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord that I should let this people go? And instead of Pharaoh releasing Israel, Pharaoh increased their workload. He took away their straw supply, an essential element for making bricks in those days. And all of these events caused Israel to blame Moses for their situation. And so the first confrontation resulted with no miracles, just face to face with Pharaoh, let my people go, thus saith the Lord, to which Pharaoh responded, thus saith Pharaoh, and he made his orders and his commands. No visible plagues, no visible power at all. In chapter 7, though it's not the first meeting, it is the first power confrontation where God shows up. It's God's divine judgment. The signs and the wonders begin, and God escalates this confrontation before Pharaoh. Now, if chapter 5 is the first confrontation and chapter 7 is the second, then that means that chapter 6 is the meat in the sandwich. If meeting before Pharaoh is the bread, then chapter 6 is the meat between these two meetings. And in chapter 6, God reaffirms his covenant name. He says to Moses, I am. And he reaffirms his promises and his plan that he would do wonders among the Pharaoh and among Egypt, and that his people would be freed. So then in chapter 7, God moves from this promise to this demonstration. And so Exodus chapter 7 marks really the official beginning of what we would call the plagues of Egypt, which many Bible commentaries would call the plagues of Egypt. And so God moves from promise, chapter 6, to this public confrontation. Now, Pharaoh has rejected the words of the Lord. He said, "Who is the Lord? I don't know, L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah God, all-powerful, self-existing one, the only true God, the only God. Who is the Lord? I don't know your God, and I will not obey him." We see first that Pharaoh rejects the word of the Lord. And because Pharaoh rejected the word of the Lord, he will now witness the power of the Lord. You know, it's interesting because when we think about it, the world has been given the gospel, has been given truth through creation. We call this general revelation through creation, special revelation through the word of God. The word of the Lord has been given. And those who reject the word of the Lord will one day face the judgment of the Lord. Someone has said you will either stand before the Lamb of God or you will face the wrath of the Lion of Judah. And so now we see in this passage of Scripture that God is going to reveal his power. Now, if we're going to break this up into various sections, I would say that first of all, that we notice that God commissions Moses again. And we could say that he commissions Moses and Aaron again. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." Now it's easy to take passages of scriptures like these out of context and to build unreasonable doctrines out of them. You could take this and you could pull various ideologies and various teachings from this and that are not intended to be teachings of the Bible. Now, when the Bible says that I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, first of all, this doesn't mean that that Moses is divine or a deity. That's not what the Bible is saying. Now, it might be what the Jehovah Witnesses would teach, that they taught that Jesus was a man, he became deity over the course of time, and so they might use that in this idea, but this is not what the Bible is saying, and we're going to look at it and build it out here tonight. It means that Moses would stand before Pharaoh as God's representative, or I could say this, he would stand before Pharaoh in place of God, as God's authority. Aaron would function as a spokesperson, just as the prophet of the Old Testament would speak on behalf of God. He would speak on behalf of Moses. A couple of verses I want us to look at. Can we go to the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians, and the 6th chapter, Ephesians chapter 6, and notice what the Bible says here, verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 6, and then notice verse 20. Now here is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to a Gentile church, to these Ephesian believers. And he says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, he says, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." An ambassador in bonds. Now where did he get this idea? Well, I want us to go again to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And notice what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "And all these things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." The word of reconciliation is the gospel. It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the word of reconciliation. It is how we are reconciled with God. And so notice what Paul said to the church at Corinth here in verse 20. He says, "Now then, We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you. Now notice this expression. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. Now what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that he is a standing representative of Jesus Christ himself. And if Jesus was to walk up to a lost sinner, he would say to that lost sinner, be reconciled to God. And how you become reconciled to God is through faith in him. And so we are standing in the very authority of Jesus Christ. We are in his stead. We are in his place. We are representing him. We are Christ's representatives. The Bible, again, says that we are in his stead. And so we are to give people the gospel and how they can be right with God. An ambassador doesn't create policy. He represents the authority of his nation. And Moses was not inventing a message. He didn't stand before Pharaoh and said, let my people go. This is my own opinion, Pharaoh. This is what I think you should do. I'm just telling you my opinion here. No, he was standing as God's representative in the authority of God himself. He said, this is the message from Almighty God, Jehovah God. He said, let my people go. And this is the meaning of this scripture. Moses stood in the place of God as his representative. And this is explained in verse number 2 of our text, Exodus 7. He says, thou shalt speak all that I command thee. And Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of this land. So when Moses stood before Pharaoh, he stood before him with all the authority of God Almighty. And we notice the response of Pharaoh prophesied in verse number 3. The Bible says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Now, we talked about this already, about this expression, as God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. It is God confirming him in the direction that he's already heading. And this is indeed the judgment of God. Romans chapter 1, can we turn there? The book of Romans, the very first chapter. I believe these are connected when we look at this passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 1, this would be a New Testament example of this. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. The Bible says this of God. It says, wherefore God also gave them up. Now, who is it talking about? It's talking about those who knew God through general revelation in creation. And they knew God, but they did not glorify him as God. But what they did is they created their own God. And the Bible says they started in a direction away from God. And so verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God gives people over to what they persistently choose. And that's what Romans chapter 1 and verse 24 talks about. Now let's go to the book of Proverbs and look what the Bible says in verse chapter 29, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 1 says this, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now what is the Bible saying? Repeated correction, reject it. Repeated correction rejected leads to destruction. Think about this thought for just a moment. I hope this brings clarity. Concrete hardens under the sun the same as wax melts under the sun. But the only difference is it's not the sun, it's the substance. It's the heart. And the miracles that God performed, creation that God made, the complexities of life, all of these things will either lead someone to God or they'll harden their heart toward God. And when they harden their heart toward God, it becomes harder and harder for someone to come to the knowledge of the truth. And it's not God that is the problem. It's their response to the truth. And the Bible says this over and over again. It's their response to the truth. And we know that Pharaoh had already rejected the truth. He already rejected the true God. Who is the Lord? Pharaoh said that I should obey him. Now we notice, secondly, the purposes of God here in verses number 4 and 5. So the Bible says, but Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you. I think about the when God called Jeremiah the prophet, and he said, Jeremiah, I'm going to send you to a people, and you are going to preach, and you're going to teach. And he kind of builds it up. I'm going to use you in a great way. And then he says, oh, and by the way, the people won't listen to what you have to say. And God says, Moses and Aaron, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh is not going to let the people go. He's going to harden his heart, and we see here in verse 4, he will not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land by great judgments, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Now, I want to notice God's purpose in all of this, because I think it can get lost. God's desire in our world today. I know there's books and articles and videos that try to find God in the codes of the Bible, and they make it, and don't get me wrong, I think the deep things belong to God, and I think it would take, I believe it would take a million lifetimes, if not more, to understand all the truths in the Word of God. You can read it over and over and over again, and it's always new, and it's always fresh, and it's always wonderful. It's the living Word of God. But God is not in the business of hiding himself. You know, he's not like a child playing hide and seek and find me if you can. God wants to reveal himself to the world. And Revelation and Romans clearly define this, that God wants to make himself known. You know the story when David stood before Goliath? David was a man after God's own heart. David was it doesn't mean that he was perfect. People say, well, how in the world could David commit such wicked sins? He was a man after God's own heart. It just means God knew what, David knew what God wanted, and David wanted that too. And David told Goliath, you're going to die today. And this is what he said, the earth is going to know that there's a God in Israel. Because God wants to be known. He wants to be revealed. And the Bible says the Egyptians shall know through all of it that I'm the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And so what is God's purpose in all of this? Revelation. Revelation. These plagues were not just random happenings. These were divine judgments. Can we go to an Old Testament passage, Isaiah chapter 45? Isaiah chapter 45, and notice what the Bible says in verse 5 of chapter 45. Notice what God says here. Isaiah 45 and verse number 5. It says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. God is revealing himself to a pagan land. He's revealing himself to Egypt. And he is revealing that he alone is God. In a pagan culture, in a pagan society who looked to many gods, who look to the Pharaoh as God, God is revealing that he alone is the true God. And we notice what the Bible says in verse 5, the Egyptians shall know. Doesn't say they might not know. Doesn't say if they can dig deeper. It says, listen, at the end of all of this, they will know that I am the true God. Now, this is important for us to understand when it comes to truth, because not everyone who knows the truth walks in the truth. And not everyone who has been revealed the truth acknowledges that it's the truth. Now, I want to go to another proverb, Proverb 23, if you could turn there. Proverbs chapter 23. And look what the Bible says in verse 23. Proverbs 23, verse 23. It says, buy the truth. Now, this passage of Scripture is not saying buy salvation or you have to somehow merit eternal life. This is not what the Bible is saying. It's saying value the truth is what this passage is saying. Value the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now, there might be someone who comes to the point in their life who may be a child who grew up in a Christian home and maybe was brought to church and heard the gospel over and over again. They might get to the point in their life where maybe they see unsaved friends around them or maybe the world around them, and they wonder what their life would be if they never grew up in that Christian home. And I hope that that never is the case in young people's lives, because what the Bible is saying here is see great value in the truth. The proverb here is once you have the truth, never trade it away. Never exchange it. Never give it away. This is the great principle of the Bible, that the truth is so valuable. And what the Bible is saying that to the world, to society is, I hope you see the value in this truth. By the way, truth is not principle, it's a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we cannot take for granted the truth in our life. Buy the truth. See value in the truth. And so just because someone knows the truth doesn't mean they walk in the truth. And just because someone has been given truth doesn't mean they acknowledge that as the truth. Let me give you some more verses. Can we go to the Gospel of John and the 8th chapter, John chapter 8. And look what the Bible says here in verse number 32. John 8, 32. Jesus said this, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Maybe the young person might think, well, you know, truth is a bondage in my life. It is not a bondage in your life. It is true freedom. It's the truth that makes you free. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Romans 1:20 says that through creation alone, general revelation, it is enough light that someone knows the eternal power and Godhead. And the Bible says that they understand that there is a God. In other words, for someone to reject creation, they are willingly ignorant. They have chosen to reject truth. It is not science. It is a heart condition. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So that's not science. It's a spiritual decision. The Bible says that they are without excuse. There's enough general revelation to prove the existence of God. There's enough truth for someone to grasp that there is an all-powerful God in our world. And so God reveals, and people must choose. They must choose. Now, let's end it here in verse number 6 and 7. We see obedience in later years. And so Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. I'm sure Moses was like, there has to be someone younger to do this. He's 80 years old. Aaron is 83. There's got to be someone else that can do this. But verse number 6 teaches us an important principle. And that was they were obedient to what God said. Notice how the Bible reaffirms this. It says, and Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. Now notice again, it says, so did they. They did exactly what God commanded them. At 80 years old, 83 years old, the Bible says they were obedient to the Lord. All right, we'll end there. We'll continue through this chapter as we look at the second thought here when Moses and Aaron stand before Pharaoh. Let's take our prayer bulletins, if we could, together, and we'll